is entitled The Parable of Mama Ostrich, and it was preached in Greater Jackson Memorial Church of God in Christ, where Bishop J.A. Blake is pastor. I pray that it will be a real blessing to you.
And when I say Bible to boot, you shoot it up in the air and wave it, and we'll see if you have your Bible. It's Bible to boot. Praise the Lord. Wave it a little bit. Keep the living word. Marvelous. That's a tremendous response, isn't it? You have a Bible-believing church and a Bible-living church. Praise God. Would you turn tonight to Job, 39th division, book of Job, 39, verses 13 through 18. We're looking for a great day Sunday. Give time to prayer. Give time to prayer tomorrow and to inviting someone to your church. Now surely there is nothing in the church that you would be ashamed of. If there is anything you're ashamed of, better let us know about it. And if it's a legitimate complaint, we'll correct it. And if it's an illegitimate complaint, we'll correct you. Are you there? But we wouldn't want you to be embarrassed about the house of God. And I believe great days are just ahead. And the Greater Jackson Memorial is going to be greater and greater and greater. For I feel the moving in the mulberry trees. Feel the winds of Pentecost blowing in the air. And I'm excited about it. I hope you're excited about the future as I am. But we're expecting a great day come Lord's Day. Expecting the balcony to be filled. It's a holy time. It's holy day season. We shorten that to holiday, but I'm excited about the Christmas season. And what an appropriate time to get together and to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. He may come again before Christmas ever comes around. So I'm going all out for Christmas this year. It may be my last one, and I want to do it up all right. Praise God. Well, I just feel an excitement in my soul. If I get too wild, Bishop, you sit me down. You're the pastor here and in charge. I'll try to be on my good behavior, but I just feel on the verge of getting blessed.
Hallelujah.
So you stay with me. And let us enjoy for our season the Word of God. Would you stand to salute the Word of God? Job, the 39th division. I'd like to speak tonight on the parable of Mama Ostrich. The parable of Mama Ostrich. God, speaking to Job, asked the question, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock? Are wings and feathers unto the ostrich?" Now he speaks there of the ostrich. The ostrich which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in death, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he appointed to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for each godly mother in this church. We are thankful, O God, for the young mothers that are raising their family in the house of God and in the ways of God. And we know, God, that no church is any stronger than the marriages within that church. No stronger than the mothers and fathers in the church. And Lord, move by your Spirit, divine wisdom in thy word, that any marriage or any home that is represented here tonight and is weak will be made strong in you. I am curious, oh God, I am curious with an inquisitive mind about what you might do in this service. And a meal may be Father, that there are those here that have defaulted spiritually. That maybe that there are those that cannot enter into the spirit of testimony and praise because a dark cloud of sin is upon their heart or home. They know that they are hiding a human weakness. They are hiding a habit that they have not relinquished. Maybe that there are those here that they have not allowed you to come in with your sanctifying power. So God, you are all knowing. From time to time, you let us in on some of your wisdom and give us a slight degree of discernment. But God, you always know us. You know what is in man. You know what is in woman. And this thrills our heart when we know that we are at peace with you. We are living holy and sanctified. But oh God, may the power of the Holy Ghost in the house of God make the sinner tremble. May the hypocrite tremble to think that this might be their judgment day. And before morning they may go out into eternity to meet thee. Oh, swing low by your presence, and may we stand in awe, knowing that we are in thy house and we stand before thee. Moved by the Holy Ghost, start a revival in every mother's heart, in every father's heart, that is a new and fresh move of God. Wash me again in the blood of the Lamb. Make me as clean as the blood of Jesus Christ and make a human heart. Oh God, sanctify afresh my mind and soul and spirit. Oh Jesus, we reach out to thee. We cry out to thee. Our heart pants for thee as the heart panting after the water. Give an intense power and influence to your word. Forbid, O God, that anyone should be bored by the hearing of the word of God. And may people leave your house saying, I have heard the word of God. Anoint then the speaker and the hearts to receive. Amen. We pray. Amen. The parable of Mother Ostrich. Jesus journeyed to the hillside. There he picked the lily and said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. He looked up into the sky and he spoke of the bird, and even the bird became parabolic as Jesus illustrated divine truth. And in one place the Bible says of him, without parables spake he not. I would like you to journey with me not to the hillside, but back through time and across the high seas. I'd like you to stand me in the Middle East, around the northern tooth of the African continent, out in the borders of the great desert sand, to a journey where there are strange creatures of the desert, and their journey to the nest of Mama Ostrich. And from her home and lifestyle, give a parabolic illustration of how and how not to serve God. How you should and how you should not build a home that will stand the test of these modern days when sin has swept low upon our hemispheres and our planet. Mama Ostrich. There are several statements that are accurate. All of these statements the Bible makes about the ostrich and any other thing are accurate. But in this text of Job, there are several statements about Mama Ostrich that are so accurate. Then in several other places in the scripture she is mentioned. And I would like you to see from this unusual bird some very apt illustrations concerning the work of God in the building of a Christian home. The ostrich, I guess, is the world's most unusual bird. She sometimes stands as much as 6 to 8 feet tall. She has a little head and an enormous body, which reminds me of some people I know in brain power and size. She is the largest of the fowl family. She can run probably faster than any living thing, 30, 40, and sometimes 50 miles an hour. She can outrun the horse. But she is a very fickle bird. She is changing always in her moods. She lays many eggs in her nest and is very prolific. Often she'll lay from 30 to 50 eggs, but she builds her nest in the sand, unprotected. Just scoops a little hole in the sand. She goes to less bother to build a nest than any other bird. Then she will run off and leave her eggs and leave it to Papa Ostrich to do the caring for the nest. She has a very vain, proud, maybe comic sense of humor. She will strut and fret and prance and preen and carry on, and she will get so involved in herself, she'll run, skip, and play across the sand, sometimes all night, until she realizes she is lost from her husband and her nest. When she does that, she panics with fear and runs at a great speed, screaming and screaming. But she seems to have little sense or conviction about which nest is hers. For in her panic, when she runs often in circles screaming, if she finds any nest of eggs in the sand, she'll stop and nest there, even though the wrong Papa Ostrich may be there. I think you can see readily that there is a good source for a parable of truth for Mama Ostrich. So running, skipping, laughing, screaming, she plays until fear overcomes her. So from this unusual bird, let us consider several truths. Truths that are elsewhere set forth in the Bible. The first truth I want you to see that being a vain bird, Mama Ostrich has very expensive feathers, but her feathers are her fate. She is hunted as a bird by the plumes that will grace the caps of military generals and the bonnets of queens. And she is equally as proud as these feathers. Her consideration of herself is largely external. She reminds me so much of the mama ostriches that prance across America. The Bible dealt with them in so many, many places that are more concerned about the external lady than the internal lady. I am sure that most of what I say will be applicable to you men as well. So you listen, and I'll catch up with you tonight or another day. But if I'm too heavy on the ladies tonight, gentlemen, this is your grand and glorious hour. You back me up and say amen on every point.
Praise the Lord.
And know that there's a better day coming when I'll preach straight at you. Praise God, are you there? She is so concerned about the external that it is her destruction. How many times has tragedy hit in the heart of the church as we see some, sometimes we wish they were not quite so fair or so beautiful or face and form because it brings their very destruction. I think even now of a man and lady who were friends of ours. The lady was so concerned about hair grooming and hair styles and her wardrobe that it seemed it took all of her time, and her main concern in the church service was not how spiritual the service was or how great the preacher preached, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the altar. Her concern was not if sinners came finding the Savior or if the Holy Ghost came and people were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Her concern was always if she at least rated in the top five best ladies in the congregation. And this was her concern when she came in the service, and she became skittish and very anxious if she thought maybe someone was dressed better than she. But tragedies, like Mama Ostrich, her concern for the externals long swept away everything she called dear, and all of the cherished moments of the wedding and the cherished emblems of the wedding album, all are gone. Her children hate her today. Her husband despises her. It is gone. The emphasis upon the external, like that with Mama Ostrich, destroyed her long ago. Second, I would like you to consider a Mama Ostrich that her family is without foundation, for she builds her nest upon the sand. Jesus said from the mountainside the same truth. Have folly, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. He gave an application that some people overlook, for he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like the wise man who buildeth his house upon the rock. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is like the foolish man that buildeth his house upon the sand. Now notice, both of them heard the word of God. Both of them knew the sayings of Jesus. Both of them were acquainted with divine truth. The difference was not that of heathen that have never heard and those that have heard enough, in both cases, both men had heard and the word of God and knew the saying of Jesus, but instead, one did them not. Oh, what folly, what danger gone, what jeopardy, saints of God, when you know to do right, for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And beware, beware, when day after day, the moment of temptation overcomes you, and your blood pressure seems to shoot up, and your heart beats fast, and you know what is right, and you know what is wrong, but like Mother Ostrich, you always, continually and continually, to repeat your bad habits and do those things you know to be sin.
Yes,
then you are building, like Mama Ostrich, your nest upon the sand. The sparrow, the swallow, the other birds of the air labor and work and toil to build a nest. But Mama Ostrich never has quite enough time to build a nest. Can you hear me all right? It'll be a pity to speak and not be heard. Some months ago, I was preaching in Delta, Colorado. A lady there from the Methodist Church heard me speak. She had received the Holy Spirit. She dreamed three nights in a row that she should invite a professor who they thought was a communist to come and hear me speak. Finally, after three dreams of this nature in the night, she went to him and he declined to come. But as she was leaving, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, lady. I'll invite this gentleman to come and speak on my ground. He may speak in my classroom. So she approached me with some hesitancy. Then as I accepted the invitation, I met the principal, and he said, we've changed our mind. The last religious speaker we had at the school, the student just shot him down and booed him out of the building, virtually. And we haven't tried for 5 years. But if you will tackle this student body, we have decided to give you exposure to the entire student body. The large high school, and he said, we want you to come for each period of the day and be in the auditorium, and we'll fill the auditorium, fill it again, and you'll be in this process 6 times. He said, what type of a program do you want? I said, I'd like an opener act with the students, just to talk and let them ask questions, and I'd like to answer their questions in the light of the Bible. Well, he said, if you have courage to try that, you're on. Now, the professor was rather hostile, but from my background as a juvenile judge and city precinct judge and traffic judge, and working with youth for so many years, in the heat of the youth revolution, the professor right off asked a question and said, well, what would you say, Reverend, is the number one cause for the teen revolution? And I didn't expect such good response from him. I said, probably the number one cause, in my mind, is the neglect of working mothers over their children, that are so busy doing other things that they don't have time to be home builders. And he wanted me to enlarge upon it. He was so impressed with this that he brought it up in every class period. So impressed was he that they invited me back, and my next trip in that area, I went again to the same high school for another 6 hour stretch with the students. I learned later that he was so impressed, his confusion, his political confusion, his leaning towards communism, his anti-God, anti-religious situation was a commingling of bitterness concerning his own childhood, where he felt like he was orphaned in the home of his own mother and father. Not that he didn't have a mother and father, but they were always gone, and he came up like a tumbleweed in the prairie, without attention or without care. And I know that somehow, and many times, it is so hard for those of you that have to work to hear this. But let me speak to you calmly as a man of God full of the Holy Ghost. I know by necessity, I know by economic situation, that many, many mothers have to work. But if that is your case, lady, and pass it on to the others that are friends of yours in similar situation, you absolutely must, make a proper care and attention for your children until you return from home. For if you do not, you will surely stand before God on the judgment day, and
give account for the children he gave you, whom you neglected, as Mama Ostrich, as they were crushed underfoot, as they were broken by the curses of modern living. And in this day and age, when sin is rampant in the world, there's more cause than ever in all of my memory to have a praying mother and have a godly mother that knows how to get on her knees and cry before God day and night, "Oh God, save my children from the terrible evil world, and God, save my children from the fires of hell." Oh, what would heaven be, ladies and gentlemen, if you knew your sons and daughters were screaming in the corridors of hell? The text goes on to say that her family is forgotten. She lays her eggs in the sand and forgets them as though they were not hers, because her heart is hardened against her children. Can you imagine? It seems such a paradox. It seems such a contradiction that a mother, so engineered by the divine creator to hold a baby in her arms, to nurse the baby at her bosom, to cradle and care for that baby in a 10-part day and night, should lose her silly head and go some other way and even forget, it seems, that they are her children. Jeremiah asked the question as he was prophesying, can a mother forget her child? Can a mother forget her sucking child, a nursing child? And the answer was yes. And astonishing as it might be, he says, oh, wonders, my people have forgotten their God, and their hearts have turned away to other things. I was preaching here in Southern California some time ago, and under the intensity of the revival, a lady's heart was stirred. She had been a Sunday morning Christian for 20 years. Her heart was moved and she was stirred. She got her Bible open and she knelt beside her Davino and began to pray. And as she began to pray, she began to weep in the spirit. Her 18-year-old daughter, who had been brought to Sunday school for years, but some people are somehow connected with the church, and yet they are so far from it. There are some people that can live a lifetime in the church, and they never get involved in the choir, they never get involved in the prayer meeting, they never get involved in the inner structure of the church. Oh, it must be a lonely, lonely trip down the awful, haunting, lonely aisle of the judgment day to stand before God when you've been raised in the church, and you know the ways of God, and you've never had the burden of the church. You have never prayed for the sons and the daughters of the church. So barren was this lady's life, spiritually, that her 18-year-old daughter came in and saw her on her knees weeping and praying. And she went into traumatic shock. She began to scream, "Mama, don't die! Mama, don't die!" She thought her mother had some premonition of death and was emotionally upset because she was going to die, only because she was on her knees weeping and praying. When I had that experience, I went home and told my wife, we have our family devotion with our children. We read the Bible with them. We get on our knees praying. But I thought, I want to learn a lesson from that. I often sometimes study for hours and pray in my study, but I want my sons, I mean my daughters, to see tears in my eyes. I want them to see me not only in the pulpit, not only in the altar, but I want them to know a father that walks with God and talks with God. I want them to see their mother on her knees with her Bible open. And I said, it's one thing to pray in the bedroom with a closed door, but I want our children to know how to pray because they've seen us pray. Oh, what a pity to have your daughter see you praying after 18 years, and because you never prayed and you never walked with God, have her alarmed. And this young lady began to scream. Her mother had to slap her face to calm her down. I made 1 month a motto of revival in the home, revival in the marriage, revival in mama's heart, revival in daddy's heart. And at every table prayer and every family altar, I said, let's pray far and above and beyond revival in our own lives. God began to move afresh upon my soul. God began to move afresh on my wife's soul. And I was so thrilled during that month as my wife, Nellie Blue, awakened me in the night. She was sound asleep. She was praying in her sleep. She was praising God, speaking speaking in tongues, weeping and shouting, and she's a very conservative lady. She's not an emotional extrovert, but in her sleep she was, and she was shouting and praising God. I got so blessed, I didn't go to sleep again that night. I lay there in the morning, just rejoicing in soul. Listen, mothers and fathers, do your children ever see you on their knees? Do they ever see you lost in the Spirit? Have you ever been caught up in heaven until you hardly knew that you were on heaven or earth, and let your children come in and find you that way, and they knew you were not aware of that presence? Many, many more would be screaming in hell if it were not for praying mothers and praying fathers. Don't get so involved in this world that you forget to pray for yourself and others. Some of you remember the tall man, D.F. Ferguson, my friend, that stood in this pulpit on one or two occasions. His son got away from God. It was up at Berkeley. When I first met him, he said, "Brother Crowder, do you know how to pray?" I said, "There's a lot of things I don't know, but I do know a few things, and one of them is how to pray. My mother and my father taught me to pray when I was a little child. I can't remember learning to pray. I learned to pray long hours when I received the Holy Ghost at the age of 6. It was in the early morning hours, somewhere between 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning, when the Holy Ghost came upon my soul. I don't know the exact time, but somewhere in that hour, and I've been at the altar as a little child praying. I know how to pray." And we were in a fine restaurant. He said, "Then I wish you'd pray for my boy." He laid his head down on the desk and just wept openly. And I scarcely knew the man. My heart went out to him. He said, "My wife and I have prayed for our son until we hardly have any prayer left in us, but we have to pray more. I feel the need of somebody carrying the burden of prayer with me. Will you pray for my boy?" I said, "I will." We prayed and prayed and prayed. We prayed him into the kingdom of heaven. We prayed him clean. We prayed him straight. We prayed him full of the Holy Ghost. We prayed him called to preach. We prayed him in a wife, and then he was caught away to Vietnam. He was killed in Vietnam, but the night before he died, he cut a 2-hour tape home to his family. And in that tape, he was telling them how much he loved them and how much he appreciated the prayers. And with weeping, he said, "Mama, you don't know this. I love you so much, but you don't know this. Night after night when I came in, I'd been drinking. I'd come in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I knew you didn't know I was there. But I stood outside your bedroom door and listened as you called my name to God and lifted my name before God. And I listened sometimes 30 minutes and an hour as you called my name. And Mama, I wouldn't be living for God now if it wasn't for your prayers." Oh, may every son and daughter of the church that's out in the alleys and out on the street corners have a spiritual mother and a spiritual father, a church mother and a church father that knows how to lay a hold of the altar and call our name in prayer. Oh, God save America in an hour when the church is filled with mama ostriches whose hearts are hardened till they cannot weep or rejoice over her children. Mama ostrich hardened against her young. Isn't it a wonderful thing to hold a little baby in your arms? Isn't it a wonderful thing to have a child given of God? Isn't it a wonderful thing to watch them grow? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to stand before God and give account not only for your talents, but your treasures in vessels of clay, and say, "God, I'm sorry, but I lost mine. They perished in my neglect and the hardness of my heart. Built in the sand." The Bible plainly says of Mama Austin that she is a fool. She is a fool. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about a fool. Said she is deprived of wisdom. She's a fool. When you pray, gifts of the Spirit come. A word of wisdom will come. A word of knowledge will come. Admonition will come from the Holy Ghost. I cannot understand how anyone would dare try to raise a family without prayer and without the Word of God. To be engrossed in spiritual folly and so caught up with this world must be a pitiful, pitiful thing. Well, now, I don't want to be too hard on you, ladies. How you doing? Let me look you over, see if you're still breathing. Breathe deep. I don't want to have you die on me. night in the middle of a sermon. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing if somebody just dropped over dead? Now, don't you dare die while I'm preaching. Paul brought one guy back to life. He fell out of the window. But I can't guarantee that I'll do that well. And we surely wouldn't want to stop to bury you right in the middle of the sermon. So you just stay right in there and keep your sense of humor high and get ready to meet God at the altar. Some of you remember my big friend, Jim Davis. He was pastoring a church in Sandy, Oregon some months ago, and he had a terrible Sunday. It was a harassing Sunday. It was a real hassle. He got a little trouble, and you know, I think sometimes church mothers and church saints can really give you a lot of headaches.